The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome, a warm welcome to everybody. And compassion is, of course, exactly what I'd like to talk about this evening. When I heard that some of the people that live down at IRC, the Insight Retreat Center, that's right in Scotts Valley, it's a little bit north of Santa Cruz. When I learned that some of the resident volunteers there had decided that they wanted to leave, they'd been sheltering in place together for all these months, and they felt like, you know, that they didn't want to be there. Some of them stayed, so there aren't formal evacuation orders, but some of them decided to go. I felt kind of like this maybe a sense of heartbreak or this pang in my heart. And this made me think about compassion. Sometimes compassion gets called the quivering of the heart. And honestly, I hadn't put those two together, this expression, quivering of the heart, and that actual experience of feeling that in my body. Seeing the ash, where I live in Redwood City, and my extended family lives in the East Bay, and they also were talking about that, all the ash that's falling. So this compassion for difficulties and for those who are suffering, those who are in pain. And compassion is a way that can help us find a relationship to suffering, to difficulties, to pain, that is one that can be supportive, that can be part of our finding more and more freedom. In fact, we might even say that finding a relationship to difficulties, to suffering, to pain, finding a relationship that doesn't cause us to close down, that doesn't cause us to completely hide under the covers or collapse under it, is such a big part of the Buddhist practice. Maybe even we could say it's paramount, foundational. For those of you who are familiar with the Buddhist practice, you know, of course, there are the Four Noble Truths. The first truth is there is suffering. And the second one is there is a cause. The third, there is this ending of suffering. And the fourth is there is a path leading to that ending of suffering. I'm using this word suffering to mean such a wide, wide, wide range of things. It can include things, complete heartbreak, having one's house, one's living place get burnt down, to also to the just those mild annoyances of not feeling quite comfortable in our posture or something like this, right? So I'm using suffering in that big range. It's also pain, but right, I think many of us recognize that difficulties, pain, can be a really powerful teacher. For some people, they find their way to a meditation practice, to a spiritual practice, because they are having pain. But it can also be a source of lashing out, some unskillful, some harmful behavior because we're in pain. We do things that are unwholesome and unhelpful, unhealthy. So our relationship to pain, difficulties, suffering is really such a key, rich place to work. And I don't know, I'm using this word work, play. It's also a place to play and explore and experiment and discover. But whether you call it work or play, we can say it's really rich, really rich. And this exploration or play of meeting difficulties is a way in which we can really feel connected. We can feel connected to ourselves. We might have a habit of when difficulties arise to kind of like want to turn away. But with practicing with it is a way in which we can actually meet and connect the actual experience that's happening. And then, of course, that helps us to meet and connect with other people's difficulties as well, as our capacity grows and we become more comfortable with being uncomfortable. So of course we're averse to our own difficulties and suffering. I mean, this is part of the human experience, and it's part of how we stay safe, right? Is to not cultivate more and more suffering intentionally. And maybe also because when we look towards our difficulties, it may ignite this big blaze of the inner critic or self-blame or regret or something. So of course, we often am not turning towards, or we might be turning away from the difficulties in others because we find it unbearable or distasteful, or maybe we feel it threatening, that we might feel overwhelmed, and so our own happiness and well-being feels threatened. So we'll do a little bit of compassion practice today, but with a recognition that we all have our own ways of working with this. We all have our own capacities, and to honor your experience, maybe it's the perfect time for you to turn towards some difficulties. Maybe not. So take care of yourself, respect yourself, and recognize that it's part of the human experience to sometimes we have more capacity than other times. And part of what we'll be doing is to cultivate compassion, to increase our capacity so that we can be with more and more difficulties. So of course, compassion practice, or maybe a compassion in itself, is a practice of inclining the mind and setting an intention, inclining the mind where we're not going to turn away, incline the mind where we are going to have some clarity about what's actually happening and our response to what's actually happening. So in our compassion practice today, we'll start with some loving kindness, and then we'll let that be the kindle that can start the warmth of the compassion. And as I said, if it feels like it's not quite right for you, you can just stay with the loving kindness practice. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. And we'll start by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths to connect with our experience, connect with our bodily sensations as we do this ordinary thing of breathing. Maybe we'll connect a little bit with our experience by becoming aware of the sensations of the feet. What are they touching? Maybe if you're in a chair, they're touching the ground. If you're sitting cross-legged, you're still touching the ground, but maybe in a little bit different way. Just to bring our awareness to our feet and to feel connected to whatever they are touching. And then we can become aware of the sensations in our upper legs. Again, with the chair or the cushion or whatever they are touching. then we might just naturally be noticing the sensations of breathing as we start to feel more connected both to the ground and to ourselves. Noticing the movement of the chest or the belly. Or maybe the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. And then when you find yourself lost in thought, just very simply, gently begin again. Right now, there's nothing else to do, nowhere else to be. We're just here now, practicing together. Feeling the sensations of breathing from the inside. Not so much thinking about them, but feeling, sensing, experiencing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. Someone for whom it's easy to feel warm-heartedness, goodwill, care, respect, benevolence. And then to support our cultivating loving kindness while keeping them in mind, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can feel into this internal experience of wanting this lovable being to be happy, to have ease. There might be a feeling of warm-heartedness or warmth in the chest area, or maybe some softness, relaxation. No requirement, it's perfectly fine if it's not there. But if it is there, can it be a support for your practice? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then building on this loving kindness, we might imagine that the lovable being is having some difficulties, either some that we actually know about or some that we imagine. Maybe they have some tension in their family relationships. Maybe they're troubled by all the troubling things in the news. They're experiencing some unease or difficulty, whatever it might be. So this loving kindness, when it meets difficulties, gets transformed into compassion. The difference might be subtle, but in addition to some warm-heartedness is a sincere wish for their difficulties to end. While we still remain grounded and without our tumbling into difficulties ourselves, but grounded in love and care, we're wishing them, this moment we're simply just wishing them an end to their suffering. So the phrase for this, there's a few we can use. I'll say this one: may you be free from suffering. May you be free from difficulties. May your difficulties come to an end. May you be free from suffering. May you be free from difficulties. May your difficulties come to an end. May you be free from suffering. May you be free from difficulties. May your difficulties end. Again, we can check in with our bodily experience, both to help us stay grounded and present, but also can be a resource of maybe a fountain of compassion, goodwill, sincere wish for difficulties to end. then we'll include ourselves. Maybe we'll start with loving kindness for ourselves. So bring into mind either a felt experience of what it's like to be here right now, or perhaps an image of ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Of course, we send loving kindness to ourselves. This can be life-changing to cultivate some care and respect, love, goodwill for ourselves. And then to have compassion for ourselves. This love gets combined with a wish for difficulties or suffering to end, a sincere wish for that to end, that comes from a place of care and respect, not pity or separateness, but it's born out of love. May I be free from difficulties. May my difficulties end. May I be free from suffering. May I be free from difficulties. May my difficulties end. again, can there be this wish for the ending of difficulties, but without aversion, without pushing away or any hostility or ill will, but from a place of love and care? May I be free from difficulties. May my difficulties end. May I be free from suffering. May I be free from difficulties. May my difficulties end. Again, we might use the sensations in the body as an integral part of our practice. Can we find, if we're feeling a little bit unsteady, can we find some steadiness, some area of the body that can hold the unsteadiness or the difficulties? Or if we're feeling a lot of compassion and love, is there an area of the body that supports that with some warmth or softness or spaciousness? These experiences might be subtle or not so subtle. And then in the last moments of this meditation, is there a practice that feels like would be the right one for you to do now? Maybe mindfulness of breathing, maybe loving kindness for someone, maybe compassion for someone, including yourself. What feels like would be the right practice to do now? Thank you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So compassion practice is a way in which the love expands into, and when it meets suffering or difficulties, then this extra, I don't know, maybe extra element gets added to it. So it's still love, but it also has this wish for the suffering to end. And compassion, of course, can lead to actions in the way that we're showing up in the world. But I think the key element here is that there's always love as a part of it. Because it's so easy sometimes to feel like we should be feeling compassion. So whatever it is that we're feeling and when we see difficulties or experiencing them for ourselves, we're just kind of saying, okay, that must be compassion. When not realizing that maybe there's, you know, fear, it's coming out of fear that we feel like we'll be overwhelmed or can't hold it. Or maybe it's coming out of some aversion or that I can't bear to really experience it, so I'm just going to tune into some other thing. Or maybe it's really an aversion, a turning away. We might quickly kind of try to like spiritualize our experience in some kind of way. So for me personally, I'll say that I practice a lot of loving kindness, and then I see that it just naturally transforms into compassion when it meets suffering. There's lots of different ways to practice compassion, and so some will start there with compassion, saying that's the easiest, and we see suffering to tap into this quivering of the heart, and then to have that transform into loving kindness. So the invitation here is to explore and experiment and see how it works for you. Maybe I'll end this little bit here by saying using the sensations in the body as a support is tremendously helpful. Otherwise, we might get lost into the ideas of how we think things should be. And that might be coloring our experience. So, of course, experiences in the body are right here and now. So just offer that as you do this exploration, something to bring with you is the felt experience. Okay. So I'd like to provide an opportunity to talk about this and explore what it, this idea of compassion, and maybe specifically compassion really being a form of love. And I'm using this word love could also mean goodwill or care or something like this, warm-heartedness. And so you can discuss that in the small group, share some ideas that you have about this really, really important and intimate connection between compassion and love. Or you could simply talk about how your experience was with that meditation practice. No need to do a lot of talking and feel like you have to trying to set up the rooms and talk. Sometimes it doesn't work so well. So there's no need to, you know, of course, say your deep, dark secrets, and there's no need to give advice to other people too. We can share things, but not so much that we have to fix other people or teach them something. So we'll meet for about 13 minutes, and we'll have the person whose their screen name starts closer to the letter A. So we'll go in alphabetical order. So So the person who starts as the letter A goes first. Okay, have fun. Okay, so would anybody like to share some of what that was like, or some insight or some ideas, or maybe share what happened? And I wanted to see if Susan was still with us or if she got called away. Hopefully she didn't have to be evacuated, but... What did anybody...
I just thought about Susan a lot during our practice and all the people at IRC.
Yeah.
It's a worrisome time.
Thank you, Nancy. That's a nice expression. It's a worrisome time. Yeah, thank you. Jiwei.
Hi, I just wanted to share. I was really surprised and touched at you know, how deep and wonderful the sharing was with you know, strangers in such a via this virtual communication and a short time period. It was a really wonderful thing. I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
Thank you. Yeah, right. There are so many beautiful people, and there are so many kind-hearted people. And the thing is, they don't end up in the news, right? So sometimes we think that, oh, the world is filled with other people. But, you know, I experience a lot of beautiful, kind-hearted people. So thank you, Jiwei. Anybody else have a comment before we sign off here? Okay, so I want to thank you for your practice, and may whatever benefit, whatever goodness, whatever wholesome thing that has arisen from our practicing together, may it be a support for all beings everywhere, those who are having difficulties, and support for ourselves and for all beings everywhere. And I'll unmute us so that we can say goodbye, and wishing you all safety. Thank you.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.